We're going to begin this week's podcast with a 1947 recording from the Nat King Cole Trio. That's What. Welcome to the studios. We've got a couple special guests here. We've got Orris Jenkins, whose release date for the album is today, I think. Isn't that right, Orris?
Hey, yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning. And the name of the album is Centennial Cole, so we're going to talk about that and some other things. Also with us is James Rich, and James has written a theatrical play and musical, I presume. Also celebrating Nat King Cole. So welcome to the show, James.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. I want to first start with Orris. Again, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you here in the studio.
Thank you, and happy birthday, Ken.
Thank you. You had to say that.
I had to. You know, I've known you for quite a while now, probably my entire career, honestly. And I've seen you through probably three different platforms giving us all this great music, and we've never had a chance to sit down together on the mic. So I'm happy to be here on your birthday, which is also, you know, my birthday is actually kind of close too. But
all right, no, now you're going to have to give that up. What day?
No, we're not going to mention that because today my album has been released, Centennial Cole. It's all about Nat King Cole today, so we got to celebrate him.
Yeah. When did your interest in Nat King Cole develop?
Well, I always say I took kind of a backwards approach to discovering music. So I was a huge Alicia Keys fan at first. Then through her, I discovered Brian McKnight. And through him, I discovered Stevie Wonder. And through him, I discovered Ray Charles. And through Ray Charles, I discovered Nat King Cole. So whenever that time happened, probably, I don't know, probably the first time I actually watched the movie Ray all the way through, you know, there's a scene in there where Ray sounded just like Nat King Cole. I was thinking, who's that King Cole? You know, got to look it up. There's also Nas, which was my favorite rapper at the time. He did a song that sampled Unforgettable, a song with Michelle. And at the end of the video, Natalie Cole is in the end of the video at a piano singing Unforgettable.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, who's that? I got to put that together. But it also goes back to The Parent Trap, the 1998 version that featured Lindsay Lohan, a young Lindsay Lohan. And in that movie, This Will Be by Natalie Cole is featured, and so is L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. And I always remembered those particular songs to that soundtrack made a super, they were a super important part of that movie. So I always remembered those voices, even when I didn't necessarily know
I would never have connected in my mind the movie Parent Trap with Nat King Cole. I'm going to have to go back and check that out.
Most certainly. And then also, I'm just I call myself a child of the YouTube era sometimes because I learned so much music from YouTube when it came out. It was imagine you could watch any video at any time from your computer. It was amazing. And because of Nat King Cole having his Nat King Cole show, and a lot of those episodes have survived to the YouTube era. And I spent so many hours just on YouTube watching, trying to see anybody that could sing and play instruments and act and do all that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, this guy has, you know, just a wealth of information just from his YouTube videos. Yeah. So,
isn't it amazing when you go down that rabbit hole and watch YouTube videos and one connected to the next and the next? But isn't it amazing how much great musical content was on TV and the movies, jazz content in particular, that's my interest, but there's so much musical content. And when you look at today's television, it's not nearly
it's quite different, of
the depth and artistry that they had on television back in then.
Programs like Jazz of the Philharmonic, which, you know, there's one episode that's on YouTube that's got, you know, the band is Nat King Cole singing, Oscar Peterson, you know, on piano, Herb Ellis playing guitar, Ray Brown, you know, it's all these guys just right there on TV.
I always, like I say, go down that rabbit hole, and it always makes me wonder, why isn't that kind of creative content on television today?
Yeah, but you know what? I think it was for a little bit, thankfully, when I was growing up, even though it was not necessarily jazz, we did have musicians of that caliber. Like I was talking about, you know, Alicia Keys. She's no joke on the piano. Yeah. I've seen her several times.
Yeah.
She did an Unforgettable at the Grammys this year when she, on playing two pianos. Yeah. So I remember that was kind of the last generation of that talent kind of being in commercial pop music, unfortunately. But, you know, we're still here out on the alternative.
Actually, early in my show today, I got a call. Someone asked me to play Les Paul and Mary Ford doing How High the Moon.
I heard that.
And I'm thinking, when I'm talking, oh, where am I going to find that? Boom, it's on YouTube. And the YouTube was incredible, the quality of the video and the music, too, going back to 1951.
Yes, I was listening when you played that. I was very surprised. I was like, Ken is playing this.
It was by request, and I'm glad he requested it because it was fun listening to it.
That was a really great recording.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so fast forward to today. Well, let's play something from your album right now. I'm sure the listeners are anxious to hear from Orris Jenkins from the new album. We're going to play The Very Thought of You. Do you want to set that up at all?
Sure. Let's see, The Very Thought of You. So this was amazing for me. This process was a 2-year process creating this album.
You've been talking to me about doing this album, I think probably more than 2 years
probably
ago.
About 10 years.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think the first time you came to see me live at the Buttonwood Tree in
That's
Middletown,
right, yes.
It was a Nat King Cole Trio type show. But The Very Thought of You was a song I've always loved. I first actually did it when I was a student at Hart in college. And it's the same arrangement that I wrote when I was in college. But I was talking to Freddie Cole earlier in that same year, and I listed all the songs I did on this album. This is Nat King Cole's brother, for the listeners that don't know. And when I mentioned For All We Know, he stops, and his eyes lit up, and he goes, that was my mother's favorite song. And hearing that information from someone, you know, because their mother died in 1955, rest in peace, Perlina Coles. My great-grandmother died in 1947, but I asked Emery, I said, what was your mom's favorite song? It's my great-grandmother. He said, The Very Thought of You. And I said, that's on my album.
Yeah.
Which he didn't know yet. But so that just made me so happy to know that, you know, through somehow I ended up putting my great grandmother's favorite song, you know, who's the one that named my grandfather, Orris.
Yeah.
You know, so we're super connected, even though I obviously never met her. She died in 47. But so, yeah, this is for her, Tabitha Smith Smith, as my Uncle Emery would say, because her maiden name was Smith and her married name was Smith.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hear The Very Thought of You. Very nice. A little different treatment of that song, I would say. I don't know. I think of it normally as a slow ballad kind of thing, and then you played it with a kind of upbeat swing to it as well.
Yeah, you know, I just had to lift myself up. You know, I couldn't have people think a Nat King Cole album, they expected to hear a whole bunch of long, drawn-out, beautiful ballads.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, that's not necessarily my style all the way, yeah. So...
Yeah, I like the treatment, certainly. And as we were talking during the while the track was playing, Jocelyn Pleasant's great playing on that on drums, and Zakai Curtis did a great piano solo on that as well.
Yes, he did.
It's yeah,
our first record together, recording together, so there's proof that me and Zakai Curtis knew each other.
Yeah. Zakai Curtis also did he well? It's on Truth Revolution Records, which Zakai Curtis is the man behind Truth Revolution Records.
Yes, he is.
And so, do you want to talk about how you assembled the group for this? I know there's strings in this as well, correct?
Yes. So I believe there are four songs that feature a string quartet.
Yep.
Which it was really important for me to go back to that string sound that you can also hear on my first album. It's kind of where I got my start as a performing musician, was in orchestras and conducting orchestras.
Yeah.
So, and one of those arrangements is from those orchestras I used to conduct when I was in high school. But yeah, I had to get a good string quartet that, you know, played together a lot and worked together well. So I found Cuatro Puntos, which is based here in Hartford, Connecticut. And it's a whole organization, what they do. They do so many amazing things, you know, music literacy, and they go across the world. They go to Turkey and Afghanistan and promote music all across the world. It's really wonderful. But they can also really play.
Yeah.
And I wrote these arrangements for them, and they showed up and they played them.
Yeah, so you wrote the arrangements as well.
I did. I wrote all of the arrangements. And one of them I stole from Nat King Cole's arrangement. The For All We Know actually is half Nat King Cole's arrangement and half Donny Hathaway's arrangement. Because both versions of that song are wonderful. But otherwise, yeah, it all came from my crazy head.
Yeah, well, I mean, it shows the breadth of your talent, Orris. It's amazing. Multi-instrumentalist. Play piano.
I'm trying to be like Harry Connick Jr., you know?
Oh, man, you do it all.
That's all.
And do it all so well.
I try. Sometimes it's not all so well, but I try.
All right, so, and the core of the group then is, why don't you go through the core of the musicians on that?
Well, I guess there's not really a core per se. The only core, I guess, is that string quartet.
Yeah.
Which is, Aaron Packard on violin, Annie Trepanier on violin, Kevin Bishop on viola, and Alan Ballinger on cello. And then the rhythm section tracks are mostly Frank Brocklehurst on bass and Jocelyn Pleasant on drums.
Okay.
There's also a song, though, with Matt Dwanzik on bass, who was also on my album, Soar.
Yeah.
And Chuck Peterson on drums.
Okay.
And there's also Susan Mazur on guitar on one song.
Okay.
Who is wonderful. She's I work with her at Trotter Road Cultural Center, where we, you know, teach music for free to the kids in the city of Hartford, about 1,000 kids we serve every year. So I was like, yeah, we work together doing curriculum and all that kind of stuff, but she can really play too. So I'm like, let's get in the studio real quick. And we did one song on this album.
Okay. So. And don't leave out Zakai Curtis. Well,
we talked about him enough already. Who else did I forget? I think that's everybody.
And then
I played, this is the most amount of instruments I've played on any album. On I had to look. I played, finger snaps.
All right.
That was fun. I had to do my Wurlitzer again. If you listen to my music, you know I love the Wurlitzer. Probably more than the piano. That's, again, the fault of Donny Hathaway and Alicia Keys. I did play piano on this album, though, which I haven't done since my first album. So I'm glad to have returned to the piano on, especially the Stardust, which is just me and the piano. I played Rhodes for the first time.
Oh.
I've never played Rhodes.
Oh.
Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I also played guitar, so I apologize for that. Sorry, guitar solo on Smile, folks, but that's me. And yeah, I think that's it.
All right.
And I did all the vocals. No other singers on this album.
Okay.
Which is also the first album where I had no other featured singers.
All right.
Every single vocal is mine.
Okay. All right, so I wanted to play another track, Nature Boy. And I have to say, I have not, this is the first time I'm hearing this album. I love what I've heard so far. Nature Boy, is that one of the tracks with strings?
It is.
Good.
It also features that as well. Alvin Carter Jr. on djembe.
Okay. Thank you.
as a boy. A very strange, enchanted boy. They said he traveled very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, very wise was he. And then one day, one magic day, he passed my way. And as we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They said he traveled very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. But then one day, one magic day, he passed my way. And as we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing that you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And then one day, one magic day, he passed my way. And as we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. In return. In return. In return.
So much, Ken. Yeah. I that's such a beautiful song, and I just, you know, I think it sounds beautiful with the strings, and I think that fits really well with that melody. And
Yeah, yeah.
And with the djembe.
Yes, yeah. And that was that was by Alvin Carter Jr. on the djembe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this definitely is, I would think, sort of your most ambitious project to date.
Do you think so?
I think so. And
maybe monetarily it is, but
yeah, that too.
But my first album had 28 people on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but I had a gospel choir, I had a string quartet, yeah. I had two different rhythm sections, full rhythm sections. I mean, that was, whew.
This is your third or fourth album?
Number four.
Certainly the most mature musically, I think, that I've heard you do.
Maybe. I'm sure there are people that would totally disagree with you, but I would hope so, since I'm technically older now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It sounds like a great release. I'm really anxious to hear it from start to finish. I do want to hear from one more track from Orris Jenkins' new album, Centennial Cole, available today and in the future, but the release date is today.
Good point. Yes.
And you can purchase that album or stream it and all the major outlets for that. But Chuck Obuchowski, WWH radio host on Tuesday morning, said you got to hear this. It's a great tune. And this is Birmingham. Did you say it's an original composition?
It is an original composition. I wrote it all.
Yeah, but I see from the liner notes you draw from Route 66.
Oh, yes.
As well.
This is true. The the little thing I'm playing on the Wurlitzer is a direct sample of Route 66.
Okay, so you quote
some of Nat's. Yeah. All throughout the album, I put in a little bit of Nat's piano work, just his quotes throughout the album.
Yep. Okay, so let's hear that, and then I promise you we're going to talk to James Rich.
Don't like us cause we're from the hood. We try to fight them cause they ain't no good. The time has now come for me to take a stand. They knocked down King Cole in Birmingham. They really think they're slick with this silly red lines. They want us to believe that things will change with time. We have to tell our young, don't believe the man. Because of what happened down in Birmingham, moved to Chicago to get away. They still try to play me in a city way. I won't dare forget who I am, but I ain't going back to a Birmingham. Headed out west to Los Angeles. Maybe there's a place that I can do what I please. The neighbors killed my dog with a poison. Sure sounds like I'm down in Birmingham. Paid my own way onto network prime time. Afraid of the dark, they wouldn't give me a dime. Had to throw my baby into a can. Because of stubbornness like in Birmingham. My own people try to say I never did a thing. They don't know how much I gave to Dr. King. They thought all I cared about was Uncle Sam. That sort of thing gonna keep you in Birmingham. Now I'm a native son of Alabama, yes. It probably ain't the worst, but it certainly ain't the best. The South is a fine place, but I ain't a fan of things they do down in Birmingham. Now I'm dead and gone, and things ain't changed. Now I'm dead and gone, and things are still the same. Now I'm dead and gone, oh man, oh man. Remember what they did to me in Birmingham. very best, the best that you can, to find your way in a Birmingham. A Birmingham is Birmingham. America is Birmingham. Do the very best, the best that you can, to find your way down in Birmingham.
And that was Birmingham from Orris Jenkins' latest release, Centennial Cole, the music of Nat King Cole, released today. Pick it up. It's a great album. And also in the studios here is James Rich. Let's get your mic on, though. There you go.
I am really here.
All right. And James Rich pays tribute to Nat King Cole and his latest project. Let's talk about the project first. So you've written a play about Nat King Cole.
Yeah, it is a formal Broadway-style musical called There Was a Boy, and it's based on Nat Cole's life behind the music.
Yep.
I've seen a number of Nat King Cole tribute shows over the years.
Yep.
And, we all know that he had, black satin hair and a piano key smile, and he had a voice as smooth as velvet.
Yeah.
But we didn't know much about him behind the music. And I've been an actor in New York for about 25 years.
Ah.
And so when I'd walk on stage, people always said, you remind me of Nat King Cole. And I've always been a curious kid. And so just hearing it so much, I started researching the man and kind of got hooked. Uh-huh. So it just kind of happened by mistake.
Yeah. Are you from New York City originally?
No. I was born, I was raised in Hartford. I grew up in Hartford.
Right.
I graduated from Weaver. And I went to New York and chased a dream and,
Yeah. Has your play been booked yet?
Musicals and plays and theatrical projects, they go through cycles of development.
Yeah.
So the cycle of development has been, I did a table read myself in 2014. 2015, we did the first stage reading in Baltimore at Morgan State University. And as it turns out, Nat received an honorary doctorate from Morgan in 1963. Ah. And so then they celebrated their sesquicentennial the year after, and the show went so well, they brought me back for a full semester and made my show an actual class. And we did a full-scale workshop production, and then we took it to California and did a reading out there as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so next up, we want to get it off the next step is to get it off the university campus and now do it with full professional actors and present it to potential investors and a lead producer. The musical itself, it's called There Was a Boy, actually focuses on Nat King Cole's life behind the music. And it's set against the backdrop of his rise to fame in the Capitol Records years. So you see glimpses of Nat King Cole, the matinee idol slash pop star.
Yeah.
But it's really focused on Nathaniel Adams Coles.
Huh. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. All right. So let's, I have something queued up here. Did you say you wanted to play?
Sure. This is from, I think this is a number from, this is from an EP that I did about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. We're going to play Route 66?
Yeah, Route 66.
All right. Let's listen to Route 66 as performed by James Rich.
California trip. Get your kicks on Route 66. Damon, Barstow, San Bernardino, wanted you to get a hip to this time to tip. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks, get them on the 6. Come on and get your kicks.
I'd like to thank both James and Oris for coming here to the studios at WWUH. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad to be here finally with you.
Yeah.
And shout out to all the other wonderful hosts on this great station. You know, I love them all, from Harvey to Maurice to Chuck to all of them. It's always great to be here, back here at WWUH.
Yeah. And it's always great when the station is supporting live music and local musicians. Thank you too, James.
And thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate being able to sit in with you guys.
Our pleasure, for sure. All right, that'll we're going to get into some more music is what we're going to do next. Let's play something from another local musician. Let's hear from Matt Dwanzik. He's got a brand new album out called Wonderful Worlds, fine album. We're going to hear the opening track to this, to his CD entitled Pecan's Delight.
One, two, one, two, thank you.
That's Eric Reed from the album Everybody Gets the Blues. We heard Martha's Place. Before that, we heard from Matt Dwanzik from the album Wonderful World, and we heard an original composition, Pecan's Delight. All right, time now is 11:43.